Take your Bibles this morning and just be prepared. We're going to wander around a little bit, Old Testament, New Testament. And last week as we were looking at the screen, I was looking for some pictures. Well, I hope that they're there this time. I double-checked and triple-checked and I added some more pictures. So we're going to fly through the notes today. It is not a battle of Armageddon. It is a campaign. It goes on for weeks. It will culminate with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as the armies of the Antichrist are about to attack Jerusalem. Israel is going to suffer through all of this. I'm not sure I mentioned that before, but Israel is going to suffer throughout the tribulation period. The battles of the campaign of Armageddon are taking place at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. They are the final thing. And then King Jesus comes riding down on his white horse, accompanied by all of us on our white horses. We are there as observers. We are not there necessarily to participate. He doesn't need our help. And you know, God doesn't need your help right now, but he asks for it. He asks that you and I spread his word. He asks that you and I teach and then witness and share. And Lord willing, next Sunday we are going to have some new tracts. We've had them around here, but we have reprinted them with a new cover. And we want every one of you to take the one that will be in your bulletin and to give it out to someone next week. Brother Scott has changed the cover. I have the original somewhere in my pocket. There it is. The original looked like this, and it will be reprinted with a different cover. So if you got tired of looking at this one, you got a new one, and share it with somebody. You don't even have to talk to them about it. Just say, I have something I would like for you to read this week. And just give it to them. Now, don't give it to somebody that knows the Lord. Give them to somebody that doesn't know the Lord, or that at least you don't know knows the Lord, or you suspect doesn't know the Lord, even though they think they know the Lord. It is a detailed track. It is five folds wide. So the message is detailed. It's not a little easy-to-go thing, and it takes some thinking and some reading. But we want them to know. All right, we have looked at these notes now for 3 or 4 weeks. Last time we talked about the destruction of Babylon. But before we destroy Babylon, let us look at this map. And if my little pointer works, look at that. See, there's the city of Megiddo. And here is this valley. It's called the Jezreel Valley. It's called the Valley of Megiddo. And that is where the name Armageddon comes from, is from that word, Valley or City of Megiddo. This is where the armies will gather. Now let us see what it looks like from a different point of view. Do you get the idea how easy it would be to gather 200 million people together to battle in an area that large? That's only a little portion of that valley. So you get the idea of what we're talking about this morning. We're going to destroy Babylon. Now you say, where in the world is Babylon? Well, Babylon was the key power center. There is a lot of disagreement as to what is referred to in the Bible as Babylon, chapter 17 of Revelation. If you would like to look there with me this morning, chapter 17 of Revelation. There are two Babylons mentioned, chapter 17 and chapter 18. One appears to be commercial, political. The other appears to be religious. That's chapter 18. But just look at chapter 17 with me this morning for a little while. We have seven angels that God has dispensed one by one with a bowl or a vial of the most terrible plagues that you can imagine that God's going to have them pour out. And I'm not going to go into all those. Those are in chapter 16. And when you come down to chapter 17, then one of the angels who had the seven bowls. So I gave to you from 16 that there are seven angels, each with this bowl of terrible stuff that they pour out onto the earth. Some call it a vial, such as a test tube. Some call it a bowl. But however you translate that, one of those seven angels now who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sets on many waters." Now, waters refers to nations. So it's talking about a great prostitute who covers many, many nations, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. I'm going to suggest to you that the wine of Babylon's fornication is none other than oil. And is there a human being on face of planet earth that doesn't, in some way, you have the benefits of oil? We heat with it, we drive our cars with it, we run our trucks with it, we run the ships on the ocean with it, and on and on and on. You can think of how oil has affected the whole world. Now, with that, great money has flown into the coffers of Saudi Arabia, of Iraq, and Iran. They are the major producers of oil until recently, when the United States and Canada and Mexico began to find that we could produce our oil reserves as cheaply as they could over there. Until then, they had a stranglehold upon the world, did they not? I have shown you pictures and other messages of Mercedes-Benz that are covered with diamonds. A Mercedes-Benz that is totally plated with gold. The opulence, the extravagance of those people there in the Middle East. Now, I'm going to give you a bigger map than that. I'm going to blow that map up for you in just a moment. If you're done reading that, you will see. I want you to just to look around a little bit. There is the center of Muslim worship right there. And remember last week we talked about the Red Sea, and I used my arm as an illustration. I used my two fingers. This is the Gulf of Suez, and this is the Gulf of Aqaba. They are all part of the Red Sea. But you see how big the Red Sea is? You see where Mecca is down here? The Bible calls that the city in the desert by the sea. The city in the desert by the sea, and God is going to destroy that at one time. Boom! And it's going to be gone forever. Now, up here is Baghdad, and just below Baghdad, right there, they are trying to rebuild the city of Babylon. But that city is a long way from running the world. This city down here, religiously, they are trying to take over the world through the Muslim faith. So I'm kind of thinking when God says he's going to destroy Babylon, he's talking about this whole deal right here. Now, here's Iran over here. You understand Iran? It has another name. It is called Elam in the Bible. It is called Persia. Now, here's the Persian Gulf. Remember that? Remember Kuwait? Remember George H.W. Bush's war? Desert Storm? We protected Kuwait from the butcher of Baghdad You remember him? This is the area that we believe is where Abraham came from. Ur of the Chaldees was the old name right there. And he traveled up here, and then he came down into what is Israel today, the Promised Land. Now, I'm just giving you a little geography lesson because I think it's important that you understand you cannot study the Bible if you don't understand geography of the Bible. The Bible is all about places and events in history. And wherever the Bible speaks of any of these things, guess what? It's 100% accurate and true. We believe the Word of God is to be true even when it disagrees with science. And many times, after a while, science comes to agree with the Bible. They discover new things. They admit new things that they already knew. And suddenly we realize, hey, the scientists who hate God and who are atheists are proving the Word of God to be absolutely true. And so we stick with that promise. Now, the key power center is in Babylon. And we looked at that last week from Zechariah chapter 5. And I told you that in Isaiah chapter 13 and 14 and Jeremiah 50 and 51, all are about this event, the destruction of Babylon. As we read here in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 17. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now the seven heads, I believe, represent the seven kingdoms of the world. You say, well, what are those kingdoms? All right, the first one was Egypt. Remember Egypt? The second one that affected God's people was Assyria. You say, well, where's Assyria? I'll show you where it used to be. Up there. That over here is Turkey. I'm outlining Turkey right there, okay? Assyria was this area. Now, there is Syria. Don't confuse that with Assyria. But Assyria came down into what today is known as Syria. Syria comes along later on. This was all Assyria at one time. And then came Babylon. Now, Assyria destroyed the 10 northern kingdoms, what was called Israel. They carted them off. They spread them all over the place. They picked up people from all over the place and brought them and put them into the cities that were now empty in Israel. That was the method of the Assyrians. And so the Jews got scattered this way, and they replaced the people out here who he brought back and put down here in northern Israel, in what today is called West Bank and Galilee. And then comes along, after Babylon, comes along Persia and the Medes. Now, Cyrus was a pretty crafty guy. He was not only king, but he was a military genius. And Cyrus brings his armies in under the wall of Babylon, while Belshazzar is having one of his drunken orgies and feasts with 1,000 of his princes and so on. While all of that drinking and all of that carousing is going on in this huge, great, big hall, what happens? Cyrus had dammed up the Euphrates River, where it flowed under the city of Babylon. And they just come in under the wall, on dry ground, so to speak. And they come in and they kill Belshazzar in the middle of his debauchery, right after God had come down and written on the wall in this banquet hall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. You are weighed in the balances and found lacking. And he died that night, and the kingdom of Babylon, that great, huge kingdom of Babylon, became part of the Persian kingdom. and the Medes. The Persians had already conquered the Medes. They had become one called the Medes and the Persians, and they take over. So that's kingdom number what? Four. What's number five? Well, a young general from Greece decided he wanted to conquer the world, and he made a rush across everything, and he came from way over here, all the way down here, and all the way through Persia. This is Persia, remember, and ended up all the way over to India. India's over here. And at the age of 33, Alexander the Great died. And his kingdom, now a great kingdom, which goes all the way from over here in Greece, all the way through southern Europe, all the way over to India, is now divided by his four generals. And they take over. And that becomes Rome. And the Roman Empire, you remember the Roman Empire? Roman Empire took care of all of this, all the way to Britain, all across North Africa. This was the Roman Empire. Now, the Babylonian history never ended with a bang. It was taken over by the Persians and the Medes. The Persian Empire was taken over by the Greeks. The Greek Empire was taken over by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire never was conquered. It died. Slow death. By guys like Nero, who burned Rome and then blamed the Christians so they could kill off all the Christians. Now, I don't know what you've heard about Nero, but that's the truth. Nero was to blame for the fires that destroyed Rome, and then he used that to blame the Christians and kill them. That could happen in America, folks. First of all, they reject our flag. Secondly, they're rejecting Christianity. A high school coach, after his team won, went out in the field and knelt and prayed and was fired. But you're not allowed to fire all these high-paid guys that kneel in protest against our flag and our national anthem. We live in a sick, sick world, folks. And God is going to hammer America somehow, some way soon. Whether it's before the rapture or not, I do not know, but I suspect we're all going to hurt before this thing is over and before the rapture takes place. Well, the Bible says that it is going to fall. And God is going to hammer this great kingdom of wickedness that is prevalent throughout the world. So we are all affected by Babylon. We're affected by Babylon's religion. We are affected by Babylon's oil products, and we're affected by their desire to turn all of us into Muslims. And so verse 7, but the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her. Oh, by the way, I'll keep reading. That carries her, which had seven heads and ten horns. Now, we got another head. And I said Rome didn't die. It just faded away. That's Western Rome. That's Europe. That's no longer the Roman Empire, Europe. The Roman Empire was in two parts. And when you come to northwest Turkey, you come to an isthmus, which separates the Mediterranean Sea from the Black Sea. And on that isthmus, there are two cities. They straddle this little channel. that lets the ships go in and out of the Black Sea into the Mediterranean Sea. It is very much the desire of Russia to be able to control all that area. They don't. It was called Istanbul. Remember that name? There was a crazy song about that. Remember when we were kids? Istanbul is Constantinople. That's all I know. So today it's called Constantinople, named after Constantine, the emperor of Rome in the around 300 to 325. And he renamed it Constantinople after himself. Everything south and east of Constantinople is very much a part of the old Roman Empire. But as the Muslims took it over, it became known as the Ottoman Empire. Now, there's a new empire coming. You see, the Ottoman Empire was destroyed in World War I, but it's coming back, and it's growing, and the goal is worldwide domination by Islam. And God is going to drop the bomb, literally, on that area right there. He may use a bomb, he may just use a spiritual bomb, but the Bible says he's going to totally destroy it. The beast that you saw and is not will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they see the beast that was not and is not and yet is. Talking about Satan. Satan. Satan is going to be put away during the millennium of Christ. During the thousand-year kingdom of Christ, Satan is going to be put away. But you know what? God's going to let him out for a little while, and he's going to run wild, stirring up strife and trouble, trying to put together an army to attack God in Jerusalem. But that's another story. That's not this. So, God is going to destroy them, and then Jerusalem is going to fall. Why is Jerusalem going to fall? Because Antichrist moves in. He sets up an image of himself at the very middle of the 7 years of tribulation. He starts what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. And as you read there in Matthew chapter 24, when that happens, and when the new temple is polluted by the Antichrist, then the children of Israel, the Christians, the Jews that are alive, are told to run and flee to Bozrah. And you say, well, where in the world is Bozrah? We'll get there in a minute. There is Bozrah. Today that is a part of what country? Anybody tell me? Jordan. Yes. That's a biblical name for Jordan. And God is going to apparently hide his people from the Antichrist and protect them in some special way in Jordan, at least in southern Jordan. Now, you have heard us talk about Petra many, many, many times. Well, back up here. That area right there is known as Petra. It's called Bozrah, but it's Petra. Now, let's look at another picture of that. Do you think God could hide a lot of people in that kind of territory? Yes, he can, especially if he puts an angelic guard around it. And so when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period, he's going to come back, first of all, to Bozrah. Why is he going to do that? Jeremiah 49, verse 13 and 14 tell us that. Micah chapter 2 and verse 12 tell us that. God is going to guard and hide his people and protect them And the world army pursues this remnant, which has fled to the mountains of Edom and Jordan. Israel today. You see what's called West Bank? All that means it's on the west bank of the Jordan River, which runs down through here from all the way up there, right up in there where I've got my pointer is Sea of Galilee. Come down the Jordan River, there's the Dead Sea down there with Sodom and Gomorrah somewhere. What did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? He completely destroyed it with fire and brimstone. You know what brimstone is? It's the same thing that's in our flares that we set out there on the highway when we have a traffic accident and we're trying to get traffic to slow down and go right or left. That's brimstone. If you've ever played with those things, you know you could deadly burn yourself with that sulfur that is burning. God's going to go boom. He's going to wipe out the enemy with fire and brimstone. There will be no more of Babylon. There will be no more of the armies. The Bible says in one place that when he returns and he clashes with the armies of the Antichrist, that the brightness of his glory is going to melt the skin off their bones. They're literally going to evaporate. God is going to win, my friend. He comes to Bozrah. He meets his people. He destroys the enemy's armies right there. And then he goes to Jerusalem. And that's number five, if we get that far. The national regeneration of Israel is going to bring them to confession. They're going to look on him. They're going to see the nail prints in his hands. They're going to see the scars in his head. And they're going to say, oh, we did that to him. We mistook him. We killed Messiah. But here's Messiah coming to be the king, coming to deliver them, coming to save them in one day. The same saving power that God is going to use there, he's used in each of our lives. Or he will, if you have not yet asked him to come into your life and into your heart and to take away your sin and to make you his child. Are you his child today? Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Father God, if there is a person in our midst this morning that has not yet surrendered to you, I pray that you will just prick into their conscience with the sharp knife of conviction and cause them to cry out to you and say, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. And we who are your children, God, help us to be fishers of men. Help us to walk worthy of you unto all pleasing. Help us to be fruitful in every work and to increase in our knowledge of you. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.